You're listening to Find a Podcast About. Thank you for hitting play. I'm your host, Timothy Chemo Bryan, and I bring my experience with podcasting since 2006 as a listener and a podcaster. I am here to help you outsmart the algorithm and find your next binge-worthy podcast. Here's how the show works. I comb the millions of podcasts currently available for free on various platforms. And then I come back to you with what I've found. Sure, you can use search engines for recommendations from many podcast apps. But I feel that getting a personal recommendation from a real live breathing person is still the best way to find the gems that are out there. The show is broken up into three halves. Yep, you guessed it. I'm a huge fan of car talk. Bear with me. The first half of the show is the stats. This gives you all the details about where to find the show, how many episodes, who's hosting the shows. Basically, this is for those that just want the stats. The second half of the show, I dig deeper into the show that I'm reviewing and let you know how well the hosts interact, talk about their audio quality, and let you know what I think about the show. Now, that last half of the show is where I talk about why the show is binge-worthy, where to start your journey, and I'll be reaching out to the hosts to see if they would like to discuss their show a little bit and talk about their podcasting journey. So, let's get going on this episode. All right, everybody, welcome back from my one-month hiatus for National Novel Writing Month and a National Podcast Post Month that I did on my other show, Create Art Podcast. Now, for this episode, I'm going to be reviewing Podcast Rodeo with Dave Jackson. Now, just to clear the air, I have appeared on the show to have one of my old podcasts reviewed. And before I launched this podcast, I did have a nice sit down with Dave to talk about what this show was going to be and how I didn't want to appear to be muscling in on his territory. Now, I've talked with Dave on other shows and in person at DC Podfest and Indie PodCon, otherwise known as MapCon. And I can tell you that he's a great guy and he's very giving. So let's go ahead and get started on his stats. Now, the host for the podcast radio show is Dave Jackson, and I'm going to have all the links for you in the show notes so you can connect with him on all of his projects. The first episode came out March 6th of 2017. At the time of this recording, he has 441 episodes. The average length of an episode is about 10 minutes, and the frequency is roughly weekly. Dave describes his show as, each week, podcast consultant Dave Jackson chooses a random podcast and listens to an episode and comments. How long will he listen before he bails? Enjoy the brief podcast reviews as you discover new shows and learn how to make your show better. Now, this podcast is in the category of technology, and he does have a Buy Me a Coffee support page. There is a contact page on the website, as well as chat boxes, which Dave maintains, and he's very responsive. Now, if you are a podcaster, you can have your show reviewed versus waiting for Dave to magically find your podcast. And that's how I got my old show reviewed. Now, Good Pods lists his podcast as number 60 out of 100 in their charts in the how-to charts. Listen Notes rates the show in the top 2% of shows in this category, and as we know from previous episodes, the Listen Notes ranking is not necessarily the most accurate way to rank a podcast. Dave definitely has his thoughts on podcast charts and their shortcomings. Are you happy with your podcast app? I know, hard question to answer, but let me ask you this. Does your app allow you to rate the podcast you're listening to? Hey, great if it does, but does it allow you to rate each and every episode that you listen to? Does your app allow you to join a community of other listeners and share and comment on your favorite podcasts? Now, if you're a podcaster, does the app that your listeners are using give you a tip jar so that that way they can support your show directly instead of paying fees to someone else? Well, GoodPods allows you as a listener and as a podcaster to rate and review all of the episodes of a podcast, as well as joining a community of other podcast enthusiasts to discuss that thing we all love, podcasts. Give it a shot. You may not go back to your old app, and you might find a community that is engaged and excited about the same things you are. Grab it on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Now, when I say the name Dave Jackson, some of you are going to think of the movie director that did The Lord of the Rings. Well, that's the wrong guy. That's Peter Jackson. Dave is a Hall of Fame award-winning podcaster. From the early days of podcasting, I would dare say that you could call him in the first wave of podcasters. And if he's not, he's really close to being one of them. Now, he has a passion for helping people make better podcasts, hence the School of Podcasting, which, again, we'll have links in the show notes. Does this mean he gets special treatment from Find a Podcast About? Heck no. I'm going to be just as discerning about this podcast as I am with previous episodes. So let's get started with sound quality. Since the podcast Rodeo Show is a show reviewing other shows, Dave practices what he preaches. Each episode is crystal clear, and there's not a lot of fluff around to distract the listener. Now, some shows use sound effects to make up for weak content, but Dave keeps it simple and easy to, you know, produce. I mean, when you listen to the show, it sounds like horses. He's got some horse whinnying, so making the mental note of rodeo right there. Now, when Dave is reviewing a podcast that has less than stellar sound quality, he gives advice on how that podcaster could correct the issue. On the other hand, he's going to let a podcaster know when the sound is overproduced. Now, I'm not a formally trained audio engineer. However, after listening to this podcast for so many years, I can honestly say that Dave has helped me train my ear due to the sound quality of his show and his in-depth knowledge of getting the best sound for a hobbyist podcaster. Now let's take a look at his format. This is a solo show, and it flows pretty much the same way for each episode. You have your intro music, welcoming the audience and letting them know what they're getting into, playing and commenting on the podcast, and then giving kind of his final thoughts. And in many cases, you know, he tells that podcast what they can do to improve. Now, this is the type of format that he preaches in his other podcast and in this one. Heck, you can hear it in this show where I follow a similar format. Why does he promote this type of format? Well, because it's easy for the listener and quickly decide if they want to listen to the show or find something else to listen to. I mean, there are only 4 million podcasts at the time of the recording of this podcast that are out there. Now, I think the format is also easy for podcasters to adopt because the hard work of coming up with a template, he's already done it for you. And you can tweak it however you see fit. You know, it's kind of like going to McDonald's. You know what you're going to get at McDonald's, whether it's in North Dakota or in Florida. You know you're going to get the same kind of meal. It's going to taste the same kind of way. The same is true for all the episodes in the podcast Rodeo Show. Now, what happens when Dave is not the target audience member for the show?
This is one of those, I'm not your target audience. That's an easy way just to put this because, number one, I can't even pronounce Cthulhu or however you say it. So I can't even pronounce it. So obviously I'm not your target audience. And I have no idea what you're talking about. The Bleak Prospect 01. And if you're thinking, but Dave, wait, it was getting good. Check out their website, cthulhu.me, And you can check out the rest of episode 365. So they have a lot of episodes of, in this case, that was the beginning of Bleak Prospect 01.
He will let you know if he is or is not the target audience. And let's face it, Dave is a white guy in his 50s from the Midwest. He has a ton of experience with podcasting and marketing and the whole industry. But he is honest when he says that he may not be the target audience member. In that case, he turns it over to his audience, who may be the target audience members.
So for me, and this is where I'm going to look to you, the listener, what did you think of this? Because I am just not a great, you know, on one hand, if I actually like an audio drama, then you know it's awesome. Because they all just seem to move very, they don't move fast enough for me.
The reason I really like this is he is aware that his voice is not the be-all, end-all for podcasting, even though his influence can be felt in a number of other podcasts and throughout the industry. Now, you may be asking yourself at this point, what is the criteria that Dave uses to describe, to decide if a show is good or not?
So let's look at the criteria for what I'm looking for. I'm not asking for some unobtainable kind of standard. I expect to hear you introduce your show. Welcome to the blah, 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 where we blah, blah, blah. If you want to go crazy, throw in a so that you can. So many people forget the so that you can. How is the audience going to benefit? But that introduces the show. Then, if you want to introduce yourself, which answers the question, why should I listen to you? Or if nothing else, just so I know that, oh, that's the voice of Betty. Then introduce what's coming up on the episode. And so that way I know who the show is for. Then I know what this episode is about. And at that point, within a few minutes, I can decide if I want to keep on listening or if I'm going to press stop.
Basically, right there, he's giving you the keys to the kingdom. It's a pretty easy formula to follow and focuses the podcaster on what they should be focused on, their audience. This isn't a unique formula. We see it in other forms of media like news, sports, or interview shows. Now, not many people can articulate it like Dave does, and he breaks it down for you in really easily understandable chunks. Could be because his background is in teaching. I'm just saying. He's also looking for this.
I always say if you can make people laugh, cry, think, groan, educate, or entertain, so you're going to educate people as you make them laugh. And we're going to learn about some, you know, probably Mormon people or whatever, what's going on with this and different camps and such like that.
Now, if you think about podcasts or entertainment in general, what are you looking for? Well, I'm pretty sure it's one of these items. If, as a podcaster, you're not hitting at least one of these items, you probably will have a hard time growing an audience. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I can't think of a popular podcast that doesn't hit at least two of those items. Now, continuing on with that point of what a podcast or any form of entertainment should be doing, let's talk about the overall feeling one has after listening to the show. Now, after I listen to an episode, I feel educated in a few ways. One, I got to experience a new podcast that I might not have known about. Two, by experiencing this new podcast, I may find something new and interesting to research or learn about. And three, by listening to the mistakes made on the podcast and having them pointed out by a trusted professional, I can review my own podcast and do better. Now, when you listen to this show, you can really hear Dave trying to help out these podcasters by giving an honest first impression feedback. Quite frankly, when somebody finds your podcast, they probably won't give you the feedback that Dave will. So I can really hear the educator in Dave coming out in each episode. And sometimes that includes frustration and annoyance, which, hey, it's understandable. Dave's been doing this since about 2005, and he's been teaching podcasting for almost as long. If you like what you heard so far,
then I'd like to ask you to reach out. You can email me directly, Timothy@findapodcastabout.xyz, or leave me a voicemail at the website, findapodcastabout.xyz. I want to help you find your next binge-worthy podcast. And if you want me to find you a podcast in any category that you're interested in, let me know. Now, if you're a podcaster and feel that your podcast would be served by appearing on the show, I want to talk to you as well. Use the same methods to reach out. Now, I'm on Twitter @FindAPodcast, Facebook @FindAPodcastAbout. Another thing I'd like to ask is if you found value in this podcast, pass it along to a friend. Lastly, doing this podcast is a labor of love, but love ain't cheap. So consider donating to my Buy Me a Coffee Fund right on the website, or go to buymeacoffee.com/findapodcastabout. Each episode takes about 5 to 7 hours of research and about 2 to 3 hours of production time.
That's a lot of coffee. Like I said earlier, the best recommendations come from a real person. So let me help you outsmart the algorithm. And now here's where I turn you from a listener to this show to a binger of Podcast Rodeo. You might be asking yourself, Tim, why would you review a podcast review show? It's kind of meta, isn't it? And hey, that's a great question. I find that this show has a great deal of value, mainly for the podcaster community. You can hear what other people are doing well and not so well, and then see where you may be doing, you know, things not so well, or you want to emulate something that somebody else is doing well. As someone who has been in the podcast community for a number of years, I find Podcast Rodeo is a great way to check out new podcasts such as Clear and Vivid with Alan Alda, which Dave did a review on.
All right. So this is one of those shows I can't figure out if I like it or not. Production, come on. This is obviously, it's, I think he's on part of, I think he's on Panoply. I know he's, it's included with mid-roll, but there's two things going on here. Number one, Alan Alda is 82. And here's the problem. I've seen him on talk shows. When you get this guy talking about science, he's a little more peppy. I've just heard him talk about science and some cool stuff in science. And I'm not sure why he's not doing that here. So that's part of that again here is that is my baggage. I've seen it's kind of like it's kind of like this. I saw David Lee Roth and Van Halen. I then saw David Lee Roth as a solo artist after he had lost his hair and was doing bad vaudeville jokes on the stage. My old lady says that she's going to leave me if I quit drinking, man. I sure am going to miss her. You know, it's like, okay, great. Yeah, so this is, I will definitely listen to this because I love Alan Alda, and it's kind of cool because when he started talking, I'm like, oh my God, it's Alan Alda. That's really Alan Alda. But I'm not sure Alan Alda interviewing other celebrities. Because I've seen him do other stuff.
Now, something I liked that Dave did in this review was he admitted his own baggage with the host, Alan Alda, and his expectations of what Alan's energy and enthusiasm should be. I really enjoyed that podcast, Clear and Vivid, and you may be hearing it in this next season. But I really do enjoy that podcast, and when it drops, I'm always there. But you know what? I wouldn't have heard about it unless I heard it from Dave's show. Even if Dave doesn't like the show or he's not the target audience, you can walk away from his show with some knowledge about a new-to-you show, and maybe it'll become your favorite. Another question you might have is, hey, Tim, why are you reviewing your competition? Well, I don't really view Dave as competition. Sure, we're in the same space, but his audience and my audience are not necessarily the same. He reviews random podcasts and podcasts that pay to be reviewed, and I review podcasts that I enjoy. Now, Dave provides tips to the podcaster to make it better, and I just provide reviews of shows that I basically already think are 4 or 5 star worthy. Dave has a large podcaster audience, and I think that's where his focus is. Whereas my audience is composed of people like yourself trying to find a good podcast to binge on by outsmarting the algorithm. So who's this podcast for? Well, first and foremost, I think it's for podcasters, new and veteran, that need to hear what others are doing in our space and learn from mistakes they make or emulate what others are doing well. When you train your ear to hear the mistakes that others make, you have a better chance of not making those same mistakes. This is pretty much free consulting that you would normally pay about $100 an hour for. It's an easy 10-minute listen that you can fit between other podcasts you're listening to or when you're creating your episode. I also think this episode is for those who are interested in learning about, you know, a lot of the behind the scenes of making a podcast and want to understand why and how they're made. You know, for that same audience member, it also gives them a sneak peek at podcasts they might not have discovered on their own. Now, you can hear the influence of Dave has had on my podcast journey. He reviewed my old podcast, KDOI Podcasting, a while back, a long time ago, and the link will be in the show notes. When he reviewed mine, and I paid him to do it, he gave me a great deal to think about, starting with the name of the show and the format. It really opened my eyes to what I was doing wrong, because everyone who communicated with me about this show said, oh, it's good, and that was about it. I had no idea what it really looked like. Now, initially, I wasn't very happy with his reveal. I mean, he called my baby ugly. But I reminded myself, first and foremost, I paid him to tell me his opinion. So I prettied up that baby and got it to a place where I feel good about showing it in public. Is it perfect? No, it's a work in progress, and I'm making it better each and every day. So if you're a podcaster and you're in the same boat where everyone around you is like, oh, yeah, your podcast is fine, it's fine, but it's not growing, I'm going to recommend that you go over to Dave's site and have it reviewed. Have him check it out. Have him tell you that your baby is ugly. It may be just what you need to hear.
All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for tuning into this very special episode. I have with me the one, the only, the Hall of Fame podcaster. And I have to say that because, you know, he owes me $100, Dave Jackson. Dave, how are you doing today?
Tim, how are you, buddy? I'm glad to be here.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Tonight, we're going to be talking about at the podcast Rodeo Show, which I just did the review on there for you. And I guess my first question is, Dave, 441 episodes. You just released 2 or 3 more, so my numbers are already inaccurate. What keeps you going after 400 episodes with this podcast?
People saying, when's the next episode? It really, that show started off, this was, you know, many moons ago. There were like 6 media hosts, and all of a sudden there was a 7th one. And so people kept asking me, hey, what do you think of this new one? What do you think of the new one? And so in the past, I've just created a podcast and put it on the media host. And I was like, I don't have any time for another podcast. And I was like, I need one that has zero prep time. Like I can just spew off the top of my head. And that was, so I'm like, I'll tell you what, I'll just grab a random podcast, see how long it can hang on. And I did it for about a month. And I was like, all right, well, that's enough of that. I've kicked the tires on this media host. And we're ready to shut it down. And the minute I told a few people, they're like, oh, you can't shut. I love this show. You are saying everything that everyone is thinking, but nobody says. And I was like, okay, sure. All right. And that's at the time, I think I tied it into Fiverr for a while where it was like, hey, you had to at least send me $5 to review. Cause it's one of those is even though there's no prep time, by the time I record it and, you know, type up some notes and figure out what their website is, because I'm amazed at how many people, that's like a secret that I have to dig it up. You know, it still takes me probably anywhere from a half hour to 45 minutes to do, you know, a 10-minute show. But sure. that was it. And I guess for me, it's why do I keep doing it? I think just because I have so many people that say, oh, if I find a new podcaster, it's weird. They don't point them at the School of Podcasting. They go listen to the Podcast Rodeo Show because he's giving you real world advice. And you kind of get an idea of, you know, what other people are doing. And because, you know, as much as I kind of have my little formula, you don't have to follow it. And, but, you know, that and I've had people that I have said, okay, well, this was not great. And the audio, because I always try to say, here's how you fix it as well. It's not just, hey, you suck, because that's not helpful. And so I've had over the years, quite a few people say, hey, thank you so much. I really needed this because I asked my friends and family and they're like, oh, it's look at you. You're so professional. And I'm like, that's not helpful. So, So I think that's a couple of things.
Yep. Mom definitely loves you and she loves your podcast, but nobody else does.
Yeah. That's it. She's not going to be entirely honest.
Exactly. Exactly. Who is the audience for the show? Who is that avatar? And, you know, bonus points if you say, hey, it's you, Tim. You're the avatar. I have a picture of you every time I do a show.
It is. It's right over there.
Okay, now, great.
It's I think, kind of the new podcaster that I get to hear. I work at Libsyn, so I get to hear a lot of first and second and third podcasts, which, you know, anytime you do something the first time, it's not going to be great. And so I just hear a lot of those, you know, I heard someone today do the dreaded double intro where they're like, hey, today I'm talking with Tim. You know, Tim does this podcast, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, and here's my talk with Tim. And you hit play and you hear, hey, today we're talking with Tim. And I was like, oh, the dreaded double intro. So I think it's just a person that's, you know, new to podcasting, wants some tips, insights. And some people listen because I've had people say, hey, you know, you gave that podcast the buzzer, but I wanted to hear the rest of it. I really like that show. And I think because they're typically around 10 minutes, maybe a little less, people use it as a discovery tool because it is very random. I just, you know, a lot of times it's just people in Facebook. If I need somebody or if I see somebody go, my show's not growing, I'm doing everything right, you know, but it's just not growing. Can somebody listen to this? And I'm like, oh, okay, good. Let's see what's going on. And that's the person you find out sometimes that, you know, they don't even say the name of the show or what's going on. And it's, you know, those kind of easy to fix mistakes.
Well, I was just going to say, I know I am guilty of that in my earlier shows. When I first started doing podcasting way back in 2006 on Blog Talk Radio, I would make all the mistakes that you've picked up with other podcasts in the show. So,
well, it's always my suggestions. I mean, if you look at Todd Cochran, right? He and Rod Greenlee, they start off the night and it's like, hey, welcome every morning, to the new media show. I'm Todd Cochran. Joining me as always is Rob Greenlee.
Hey, good morning, Todd.
And that's it. They never say what the show is about. They just say it's the new media show. So that's what I always tell people. It's kind of my formula of what I think a good intro is, but you don't follow it. It's not like the podcast police are going to knock on your door and go, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't say what the show's about. Give us your license, turn it in, you know, your gun and your badge, you're out of here, you're off the force. So
I didn't know we had podcaster licenses and badges. I need to get that at the next Indie PodCon. Are they handing them out at the Libsyn booth?
That's it. Come and get your podcast license, you know, gold stamp, gold star, whatever you need. We got it there.
What is something that most listeners of the show would be surprised to learn about the Podcast Rodeo Show?
That's a great question. Surprised to learn that it takes longer than you think. It's even though it's a short show, and most of it is, in many cases, I always try to put their artwork. Like if you listen to it in an app, you'll see their artwork. You won't see mine, which means, A, I go to images.google.com. Type in the name of the show and like logo artwork. And sometimes it'll come up, many times it does not. So then I go to their website and I get it that most people don't put the RSS feed on their website because when people click on it, it just gives you a face full of code, but that's what I'm looking for. So then I have to go to Cast Feed Validator, put in the name of the show, find it, get their feed. So I can then look at their feed and get the address for their artwork so I can download it. And it's like, that's one of those things. It doesn't take a long time, but it's just one of those like, oh, you know, and then in some cases there's nothing to subscribe to the show. Cause a lot of times if it's Apple, I can reverse engineer it. So that's something that just takes a lot. And then, a lot of typos. Now I'm not one to talk about a guy that shouldn't throw shade, but I love typos or bad grammar in the description. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, that's nobody read that out loud. Apparently that doesn't work. But yeah, it takes, I guess that's part of my problem. I'm not sure what people know about the show, but it sounds like, oh, it's this cute, fun little show. And there are times when finding a show, you know, it's one of those things. I actually have it on right now through the end of the year where you can name your own price. I really thought I would get a huge amount of people that would just, you know, run through the door. I think that's probably the biggest one, is that there's a line to be on the show. And I'm here to tell you, no, we're back to just Dave. So one of the reasons why I'm kind of not as consistent right now is because I have to go find a show. And I was like, come on, people, pay me $1, $2, $5, whatever you want. I just need somebody willing to say, hey, can you listen to my show? And I think the other thing is that I always hear people like, oh, I'm not going on that show. And I always kind of like, I'm trying to be a gentler, kindler Dave. Like I'd be a little more constructive. In the early days, I was tired because I was doing it late at night and things like that. But I always now try to say, okay, here's how you can fix the problem you have, or here's why I thought. So I don't think it's quite as Shark Tanky maybe as it used to be, where it's a little more brutal honesty. And I keep coming back to this. I'm starting to be convinced that people aren't confident in their content, because I see people at Libsyn that they've submitted to Apple and maybe Google and Spotify, and I'm like, but what about the other 8 or 9 directories? And then, you know, I'm always telling people, hey, do you need some feedback? And they're like, oh yeah, I'll get to it. And yet there's, you know, no lines right now, podcastrodeoshow.com/store. And I think it's just maybe people aren't as confident in their content as they should be. And I was like, well, why is that? I just did an episode about that. Maybe you should survey your audience and see what they think about your show. So I think that's probably the biggest one. I think people think there's a big line. Maybe, again, I'm not sure what people think, but there's no line right now to get reviewed.
You talked earlier about how some podcasters have come back to you and have thanked you for the review on their show. And, you know, full transparency, you did a review on my old show, KDOI Podcasting, which it was a great review because I actually changed the name of the show. Yeah, I changed other things too, but that was the big thing that you had an issue with, is the name of the show, because it didn't match what I was doing. But how often do podcasters come back to you and talk to you about it, either good or bad?
Not as often as you think. Most of them now, I try to get people who have submitted their show. I used to just randomly grab anybody. And it was kind of, I was like, well, it's my opinion. I'm allowed to voice my opinion about your show. And there's a whole thing of like, is that legal? Cause you're playing their content and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, I don't want to get in. That's why I kind of was like, I need somebody willing to say, hey, can I give you my opinion about the show? I've only had two. And one was like the very first show I did. And the guy he left me a review on Apple and is like, this guy is an idiot and doesn't understand and blah, blah. He was really upset about it. Wanted me to take down the show. And I was like, no. And he never did anything. And it's still there, I think. And then I had one person that it was interesting. She started a show and she started off and she told these horrific stories of her childhood. And I said, I'm so sorry you had such a bad childhood, but I have no idea what I'm listening to. What does this have to do? What does your bad childhood have to do with the topic of your show? I'm really confused. And the fact that I was somewhat not poo-pooing her child, I was like, look, I'm sorry, but like, why are you telling me this stuff? And she was, oh, how dare you kind of reaction. So not a ton, but I do have some people that occasionally would be like, you know, and the other thing is, I think a lot of people, I mean, we all want to know that we're doing something right. And so when you say, hey, can you listen to this and give me feedback? In some ways, people are saying, hey, can you listen to this and agree with everything I've done so far? And when you go, I don't get this right now. We're all that same way. We have that too close to the trees kind of thing. I was at Libsyn today. They put out a survey, and I got to like question 11, and I was like, "This doesn't make any sense." It said something about it was asking about a new tool we have where you can record interviews, and they said something like, "What's the audio quality on your scheduling tool?" And I go, "When I hear scheduling tool, I think Calendly." And I go, "And Calendly doesn't have any audio quality." I go, "What?" And they're like, "Oh, that, you know, I didn't see that." Yes, I understand what you're saying. And so sometimes we're a little too close to the trees to see it. But I do have people on a regular basis. Probably I would say if I do 4 a month, I have 25% say, "Hey, thanks so much. I didn't see that. That's a great point," you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's rarely, you know, "Hey, you're an idiot." I don't have anybody say you're an idiot. And I tell people, like, if you give me an audio drama, I will tell you up front, I'm not a fan. I try to come in with an open mind, but almost everyone I hear, they fall in love with the production. So it's 2.5 minutes of an echoey footstep with the drip in the back and the jail cell opening. And I'm like, okay, I get it that we're painting with audio, but like, meanwhile, what's going on?
Exactly. Exactly.
So I always just tell people, I'm like, "Hey, for the record, your audio drama is going to have to be really good for me to go, I loved it. And it's going to have to probably move at a quicker pace." And I'm like, "So," and that's always say, "Hey, you know, if you listen to this episode so far and you liked it, please," I always give out the website. I go, "Let them know that, you know, Dave's an idiot. This is a great show." And we'll go from there.
Well, and it's kind of like something that Seth Godin says this a lot. I don't know if you follow his stuff at all or not, but he's like, you know, it's not for everybody, and that's okay. And, people need to realize that. Podcasters need to realize that you're not going to make a podcast for everybody, because then it's going to be about nothing, and the podcast is going to be horrible.
Yeah, absolutely. I got some really detailed feedback about another show I do called Ask the Podcast Coach, where it's a live show. The goal of the show is to basically give away free podcast consulting. And so people say, you know, they come on, "What's the best microphone for under $100 or whatever?" And this one person went back extremely deep. "Hey, back on February at the 4:17 mark, you guys said this. And then I listened in August at the 27 minutes." So like, they did their homework and it was really detailed. The problem was all of their feedback was not in alignment at all. Like, "You guys need to do more interviews." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's not what the show is. And you guys need to do this and bring on and where, yeah, that's not what we do." And so in a very loving, kind way, we went, "Hey, thank you so much for the feedback. But, you need to go listen to another show, because if that's what you want in a show, that's not this show. So you found the wrong show. If you're looking for interviews," I don't know, is anybody doing interviews in podcasting, Tim? Is that a thing? I don't know, maybe a couple bazillion of people are doing interviews.
Just a few. I know Alan Alda's doing interviews like every other week. He's doing interviews. That old guy can interview, let me tell you.
That's it. I love Hawkeye. One of my faves.
So when you're working with the podcast that you review, and maybe this is more a question for not just, you know, the podcast rodeo show, but for, you know, your consulting and everything like that, who's easier to work with, newbie podcasters or veteran podcasters?
Newbies. Newbies, because people that have been doing it a while kind of have an idea of, "Hey, I'm going this way. It's going the way I want, or maybe it's not going the way I want," but they're not, I don't think, as open, because, you know, I've been doing this for 9 months straight. I haven't missed an episode, and, you know, I'm a podcaster now. And so where the newbie is like, "Look, I'm just getting into this thing. Anything you say is going to be great." So there are times you get into people that have already established a habit or whatever it is, and you go, "Yeah, I don't know if you realize this, but you have a minute and a half of just music at the beginning of your show, and that's a lot longer than you think it is." And they go, "Oh yeah, but I love that music." And you're like, "Okay, well, I'm just, you know, just letting you know that usually I recommend about, you know, tops 10 seconds of just music." And so there are times they have their reason. Again, they're asking for feedback, but really what they want you to do is just agree with everything they've done so far.
Tell them that their baby is beautiful.
That's it. Exactly. The best thing ever. So yeah, newbies can be much easier to work with.
Good deal.
Newbies, the hard thing for a newbie is getting them to press record. So that's that's the hard. Once you get them something to record, now we're, you know, okay, we've gotten over the biggest hump. And then it's just a matter of like, this was really good. This was really good. This would be better if you did blank. And they're like, oh, okay.
What's next for Podcast Rodeo Show? What do you see coming up? Any changes in the format, having a co-host, doing interviews?
That's a great question. I thought about, because I saw in Google, when you're doing a something live on Google, you can have a poll. Like I could do a live poll. And I thought I could actually do a live podcast rodeo show and do my little gizmo. And then when we're done, like, okay, it's time to vote, thumbs up or thumbs down. And then, you know, throw it out to the audience and go that route. That is something that the idea of a live poll has somehow replaced my want and need to be Phil Donahue for, I'm really dating myself.
Wow.
Because Phil Hartman did a great Phil Donahue imitation, but I grew up, there was a guy named Phil Donahue. He had absolutely white hair and he'd always go into these controversial topics and then he'd go, is the caller there? And they'd be, and he'd always look at the ceiling. I don't know if the speakers were in the ceiling or what, but he'd get call-ins. And so I've always wanted to do that. That's one of the reasons why I love Ask the Podcast Coach is it's live. I'm getting live feedback, which means occasionally you do get the troll and the person that's, you know, promoting themselves and things like that. But I thought that might be fun. I have done a few on YouTube where I've done them live. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things that again, anytime you add another element, it's more time. And you know, the idea of the show was I want to record it. And when I'm done, I'm done. And, you know, I do stop occasionally and it doesn't sound like, but I'm like, okay, what is the feedback here? You know, it's off the top of my head, but there are times when I'm like, okay, let's figure out what I'm going to say so I don't just ramble on and on. But I might do it live. That might be fun to, you know, I'm a big fan of let's throw it on the wall and see what happens. It might be a great idea, might be a bad idea. Only one way to find out. What would you like to see it do, Tim?
I would like to see a poll because I'm a big fan of a podcast called Intelligence Squared. It's a great debate podcast. And they do it live. They have a live studio audience and they have a topic that they're going to do. Let's say abortion, you know, should it be legal? Should it not be legal? And they'll have the audience do a poll. And at the beginning, they'll do the debate and they'll have a poll at the end after the audience has heard the whole thing. And whoever gained the most support wins the debate. Now, you know, do we follow what they say in the debate? No, but, it's just fun to see, you know, the change in people's perceptions, change in people's ideas in just a 1 hour block of time after hearing two or three debaters, going after each other's ideas. So. I like the poll idea. I think if you do the YouTube live stuff, you're always going to run into the issue of, oh, I can't make it at that time. You know, you can't hit a specific time that is going to, you know, be convenient for 8 billion people. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, that's one of those where you have to look at your, like that almost has to be based around your life. Mm-hmm. The reason people always ask, like, why do you do a show on Saturday morning? And I said, that show was started when I was married. And the whole idea was I will do it now early before anybody gets up. And at the time when I was married, my ex-wife would like Saturday started about 1 o'clock for her. Like by the time she liked to get up and have her coffee and just chill and start the day nice and slow. So I was in my office pounding away doing a podcast and we would both get done at the same time and go on and take the day. So if I do something like that, I'll have to figure out a time in my schedule. It's always going to be in the evening sometime and figure out, okay, well, we've got, you know, this show Monday night. I do another show. I have masterminds. Everything's in the evening. So I have to figure out where to shoehorn it in. That is the nice thing about the show is it's me. There's no co-host. There's no scheduling. I do it whenever I can. And and go that route. But I might look into a poll. That might be something, even if I put it in the show notes. What do you think? And then anybody that comes after me years later can click on the poll and see, oh, wow, this is a 60-40 split or something like that. So I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, and then at the end of the year, you could look at that poll and go, okay, so, you know, this one, this is, you can track and see who's got the best poll numbers, you know.
Yeah.
And I see what kind of where, well, my audience loved this podcast and I hated it. So that's, right. You know, and then you throw it back at them and go, well, why did you love this podcast? This, yeah. You know why I hate it. So why do you love it? So
just more insights.
Just more, yeah, more engagement.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the, name of the game here. I do have a question that I have from one of my listeners, and this is from, Kyle Bondo.
I've heard of that guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, he, runs a, podcast called the Merchants of Dirt.
Merchants of Dirt. I love that.
Now he wanted me to ask you, very serious question here. Where is the Binky and the Wiz podcast that you promised 2 years ago on PodRect?
Oh, that's so funny. I don't know that I still have a voice. The problem is Binky and the Wiz, for any new people, was a morning zoo kind of team that I made up for my 400th episode of the School of Podcasting. And Binky is a intense version of David Lee Roth. Basically, because if you take David Lee Roth, man, like, because when I grew up, there was a whatever you call it, one of those, you know, ID things. It was like Cleveland and screaming. I can tell you true because this is Diamond David Lee Roth. So I take that and add just a hint more of dirt in the back of my throat. So now it's more like this. All right, baby, what's going on? And if I do that for extended period of time, my voice goes, yeah, that's enough of that. Quit that.
Yeah.
You know, and that is just something. Episode 400, I had to write it out as a script, and I recorded. I don't know if I would do it this way. I would try to do the Seth MacFarlane. If you've ever seen him switch from he's the guy that does the Family Guy, so he'll be doing Stewie, and then he'll do Peter, and then he'll just switch back and forth. So I could sit there and go, you know, whatever. And because there's, let me think. There was Binky. There was the Wiz, who was a stuttering. He was based on the Martian from Warner Brothers.
The whole he makes me so angry, but he
stuttered because why not? He's on the radio,
exactly,
which is kind of an heir to, you know, Howard Stern and Stuttering John. And there was a guy, I think it was just called him Dude, and he was that guy, the big jock guy that's on every morning, Dude, and he would just mainly just a dude. That was it, you know. So maybe I'll do it in the future, but it's that was a lot. Episode 400 took a lot of work. I did go back and listen to it recently. It's fun because it features my ex-wife and we're naming off all of these weird radio shows that don't exist. Like, there was something, it was something like Cracky in the Taint or something like that. And I was like, what? So that was very weird. But, maybe they'll make, I think they made an appearance once more. I can't remember. But it's always fun. It's one of the things that it's weird because that was 400 episodes ago and some change. And people still talk about Binky and the Wiz. So, and it's always my default. If I'm talking about a radio show, it's like, I don't know, and Binky and the Wiz. And you know, so, but thank you for the question, Kyle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kyle, very good supporter of the show. Very good supporter of the show. What podcast would you like me to review next? What one do you think out there is worthy of getting reviewed?
Two of my favorites is one is Congressional Dish. It's a political show by Jen Briney, who reads the bills, most of them, that go through Congress. And what I love about it is Jen starts off, it's listener supported. That way you can't attack her sponsors because she doesn't have any. And it's always interesting because she says things even if they're not popular. Like, it was interesting. She has two friends that speak Russian fluently, and she had them translate a speech from Putin before the war.
Okay.
And he kind of said, hey, you guys said you weren't going to put your troops here and here, and you kind of did. Like, what's up with that? And to me, that sounds a little bit like the Bay of Pigs. You know, where, and So to kind of go, hey, maybe we caused some of this problem here because, you know, we rolled up on the guy's doorstep. So that was kind of interesting. And then the thing I love is she'll go through these bills and she has a PDF in her show notes with highlights. So it's not her opinion. It's like, no, this is what happened. Here's who voted on this. Here's who voted on that. It is a show that I typically end up feeling angry at the end of it because I'll hear how Congress is just a bunch of idiots and everyone should be talking about this. And instead you turn on the news and it's like Kim Kardashian wore this dress this week. And I'm like, ugh. So that's a good one. My vote right now for favorite podcast, is probably the No Agenda Show, even though the middle of the show is very easy to fast forward through because they think a lot of their supporters, that's another one that's listener supported, but they did something very interesting. They just released an episode because one of the co-hosts is Adam Curry and he's just had a ton of mouth work done. And so his doctor was like, yeah, chill for a bit. So one of their audience members, so it wasn't even them, one of their audience members put together a montage. Every now and then they'll play clips because it's kind of a, I want to say politics, but it's not always politics. A lot of times it's just deconstructing the media. Mm-hmm. But on occasion, it's two guys and somebody will play a clip and they'll be like, oh, that's, you know what? I'm going to give it to you. That's clip of the day. And so they had all these clip of the day. So it was kind of like the No Agenda, like greatest hits back to back. And I got done and I was like, I didn't realize how much I love that show until I heard it's like when you put on Tom Petty's greatest hits and all of a sudden you're like, man, that guy had a lot of hits. I didn't realize how much I liked Tom Petty. So, that one that's interesting, the thing that's kind of a downside, if you're new to the show, it's 3 hours long.
Okay.
So for me, half my week, you know, shower trips, walks around the park, things like that. It takes up a lot of my week, but those are two that, I listen to on a regular basis. That in, What Was That Like by, Scott Johnson, where he interviews people that have really bizarre things going on. My favorite was one of his first episode. He had a guy that smuggled, it was like cocaine wrapped up in balloons or something. Mm-hmm. And he stuck them where you don't want to stick balloons.
Right.
And then they broke. And so the balloons broke. And so he almost had a heart attack because he had massive amounts of cocaine in his system. Mm-hmm. And then once they finally, you know, you have to figure out if he's going to die. And then the fun thing is if he is going to live, congratulations, you're alive. That's the good news. The bad news is you're going to jail because you just tried to smuggle a bunch of cocaine in your bum. So that was a fun episode. And he has all sorts of – one guy ate his foot. That was different.
You know, right.
Yeah, exactly. So there are bizarre stories on there. A guy got attacked by a bear, and the bear just literally turned him into mush, and yet he's still alive. So that's called What Was That Like? And usually the answer to that question was, it sucked. But then you hear how the person, somebody – and here's the interesting thing because Scott knows that if you binge his show, after about three episodes, you're like, ugh, these make me feel horrible. You know. So he – about every three or four shows, he will do kind of a – like he had a woman that went on The Price is Right – and won three times. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, that's still kind of like, well, what is that like? But it doesn't involve, you know, eating a foot.
Yeah.
So it's a little more uplifting that way. So that's a fun show.
Folks, you may hear these shows being reviewed on this show very soon. We will see. Dave, it has been a pleasure talking with you and catching up with you here today.
So Dave, where can we find the show at?
PodcastRodeoShow.com. is where you can find the show. And if you want to be on the Podcast Rodeo Show, podcastrodeoshow.com/store. And we have multiple varieties of reviews that you can order there and, you know, get more confident in your content.
Perfect. Well, again, thank you so very, very much.
Oh, Tim, always a pleasure to hang out with you, buddy. Appreciate it.
You got it.
So that's the episode. I want to thank you again for taking a listen. And if you want to outsmart the algorithm and have me review a new podcast, email me, Timothy@findapodcastabout.xyz, or go to the website, findapodcastabout.xyz, where you can listen to all the other episodes and leave me a voicemail. I'm here to help you find your next binge-worthy podcast. Now, this podcast is a production of TKB Studios. I've been doing podcasts since 2006 and helping others with their podcast goals since about 2016. Check out my other shows like Create Art Podcast. You can find it at createartpodcast.com, where I talk with other artists and motivate you to tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. If you found any of this worth your time, I'd ask you to pass along to a friend. And if you're so inclined, you can rate and review me on your podcast app of choice. Let me know what you like to hear to make this a 5-star podcast in your ears. Until next time.